Thank you, my brother. Take your Bibles, if you will, and go to Psalms chapter number 11. We will use the Bible today just a little bit, and I do hope that I told Brother Perkins that I'd tell you all this morning that I'm half the age of my preacher, so I only have to do half as good. Amen. And so, amen. And so I hope that you came, and this morning, if you came and you were expecting Pastor Carter, I am sorry. I wish he was here as well. And I do look forward to him being back with us in short order. I pray that you'd, as you open to Psalms 11, I want to pray and ask the Lord to meet with us again this morning before we get into the Word of God. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as I come to you today, dear God, I beg you one more time to help me be what I ought to be right now in this time period as we stand before your people and open the Word of God. Oh God, I pray that you just help me be the messenger boy that I ought to be right now. I pray that you'd be with my preacher, as no doubt he mounts a pulpit in another place at this time for his son. And I pray, dear God, that you'd give him power beyond his strength and of his years, and that you just use the Word of God through him, that if there would be people there that don't know Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. And dear God, here at Landmark Baptist Church, I pray if there are people under the sound of my voice, either by radio or in this building, that do not know Christ, that today, that through the preaching of your word, that they would come to understand how that they can be saved. Well, thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In Psalms chapter 11, we find some truth that this week, I don't know if you watch the news. I don't normally. I typically get my news from other people, and they tell me how terrible. You know, I just can't. I know a lot of you think that's crazy, but I can't stand watching the news. It just, you know, I'm too involved in the work of God to spend my time thinking about that. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, folks. The world is crashing around us, and it'll get you down if you spend too much time looking at it. But I did hear of news that swept across, you know, the internet and across some news agencies that the Bible was going to be banned from California, or at least that there was a law proposed that would do so. And then as I dug and studied into that, I found that that was not necessarily true, that the mainstream media was trying to say that we're not banning the Bible. All they really did was they proposed a law that would make it illegal for a minister or anyone who is a counselor to counsel people that believe that they were transgender or homosexual, to be counseled by those people that was wrong. They banned the sale of books in that law. If the law passes, they would ban the sale of books that would counsel people that to think to be a boy and think you're a girl was wrong, or that homosexuality was a sin. And so thus, you know, they said that we're crazy to think that someday they would ban the Bible. But they obviously haven't read it, because it teaches that homosexuality is wrong. That if you're a boy, you're a boy. And if you're a girl, you're a girl. And if you're going to get married, it ought to be one man and one woman, not Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. I want to just tell you before I get started just how crazy I think this foolishness is. I drove here today in the church's Ford 15-passenger van. Now, if I wanted to this morning, I could go out here and take a symbol off of someone else's vehicle and tear off the Ford symbol off of that van and stick a Chevrolet symbol on that Ford. I'm just going to tell you, friend, even though I could then identify the Ford van as a Chevrolet, it's still a Ford. Amen. To all those of you that love Chevrolet, it'd still be a Ford. Even though you're trying to make it look like a Chevrolet, it'd still be a Ford. Now, and I told the Sunday school class this. This is how ludicrous it is. It's a 15-passenger van. I could take all the seats out of it and leave just the front two seats in it, and it still wouldn't be a smart car. Doesn't matter if I called it a smart car. Doesn't say, and it could never, listen, if I parked it in a compact parking space, it would get towed. And I said, but there's only two seats. It identifies as a compact car. If I took it to the DMV and tried to register it as a Chevrolet, they'd act like I stole it. They'd put me in jail. If I tried to identify it as a smart car, they wouldn't see it that way. The insurance company would never insure it as a smart car, because that's crazy. It works the same way with people, folks.
Doesn't matter if we want to be this or we want to be that. God made us just how we are. And it don't matter how far we get away from God or how crazy we think we are, that we can change the way God made things and laid out the foundations of the world. We can't change it. You can change it on paper, but it don't make it true. You can try to change people's ways of thinking about it. You can try to make it illegal. By the way, friend, that is against the Constitution of the United States. That is a gross, gross overtaking of freedom of speech. But that doesn't matter because it fits into their realm, doesn't it? Where in the world are the people standing up? Somebody told me that, oh, if they banned the Bible. You know, that this is worse than banning just the Bible. You know, if they banned the sale of the Bible, we could buy containers of Bibles and ship them into California and give them away to everybody. But when you outlaw thought, the truth, you outlaw not the sale of it, but the perpetuation of truth, there's a problem. Listen, I want to preach a message this morning out of Psalms 11 and Hebrews 2, amen, but chipping away at our foundation. Chipping away at our foundations. I want you to understand this, that the Bible has something to say about this idea of our foundations and what is foundationally true. Look at Psalms 11, if you would, in verse number 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For when the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string. They may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Look at it. It says, They that may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Today they do shoot. Verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That will be our text verse today, and I want you to see it. If the foundations be destroyed, does it say that the foundations have been destroyed? It says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. I love this. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous, the Lord loveth righteousness. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Look at verse chapter 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. Let me say this. I believe with all my heart that among fundamental churches and even good brethren, somehow we've taken a position that the foundations have been destroyed. And it's absolutely not true. They are chipping away at our foundation. They are chipping away at the way that this nation was founded. But the foundations of the Christian faith still stand strong and as hard as they ever were. Listen, this book still is the book. It's still perfect. It's still inerrant. It's still the way it was when I was born. And it still cannot be destroyed and will not. Even if they outlaw it from some state and say you can't sell it there, it's still the book. It is still truth. It'll never change and it'll stand the test of time. And it's time that God's people, the faithful man, takes heart again and says, not on my watch. You'll not change that. Why isn't that the country itself has not stood up against this? And the cry of God's people is not, stop. No, the foundation won't be chipped away anymore. Because, listen, just like abortion and every other evil thing that's come down the pipe, we have been lulled asleep as God's people, and the faithful man faileth. We can say amen on Sunday morning, but it's time that we rise up and do something about it. It would be, listen, my heart this morning that God's people would sit down with pen and paper and bombard the White House saying, what a gross misaction this state has taken. Listen, if they do it there, don't think that somebody else won't do it. Don't think that Florida won't try it. Don't think that Maryland won't do it. Don't think that some other state. It's not time to wait until some other person's idea comes up. It's not time to wait. Listen, it's time to get after it. We have made things law in this place that I cannot believe that we've had. But why? Why is it? Because the faithful man faileth. We're so concerned with what goes on here and in this place and in our little realm. We're so busy watching the news that we won't take part in it. We won't make news ourselves. That's not what built fundamentalism in this world. That's not what propagated the Christian faith. The men that turned the world upside down were not men that failed at their faithfulness to stay after it. You say, Brother Parsons, we preach, we go soul winning. Listen, we need to take heart and attack this idea that, listen, this is wrong, folks. They're not attacking our freedom of speech, and we would stand up faster than that. They're attacking truth. They're attacking the foundation that my life is built upon. That, listen, that book that says that one man and one woman, they're attacking that a man is a man and that a woman is a woman. They're attacking to say that I can't sit in a place as a pastoral figure in the life of a young person and counsel them, that idea that they have in their head is wrong. They're saying that would be illegal and I could be put in jail for it. He say, Brother Parsons, they would never do that. They're doing it in Canada right now because the faithful man failed. We need faithful men, not just preachers, but somebody that's eloquent with a pen to sit down and write. Email. We're so busy with Facebook. Listen, what about writing people that matter? Instead of telling everybody that you don't have any more sticks of butter to make chocolate chips with, what about sending something to somebody that matters and say, we're not going to stand for this anymore. We're going to stand up. Listen, the problem is this. You know the fundamentals of the faith? Listen, you know we talk about this all the time. Folks, if I said, listen, I want you to take out a piece of paper. It's not Sunday school anymore, so I can't do that, right? Take out a piece of paper and write down the Ten Commandments. How many of us could do that? But more so, in the day and age we live in, the church age, how many of you could sit down and write down the fundamentals of the faith? How many of you could write down the number one fundamental of the faith, that the Word of God is inspired, that it's inerrant, that it's the Word of God, and it is our supreme authority in faith and practice? I want you to listen to me read this. Listen, that was all introduction. I hope you buckled your seatbelt today, amen? All right, listen now. Foundations. In the 1828 dictionary, by the way, I don't know if I've said this in recent days, but I've been reading a great book about Noah Webster. Noah Webster, we accredit him and give him a lot of credit for his 1828 dictionary, but he was one of the founding fathers. And in this book, he did a lot and wrote quite a bit in the formation of our nation, he realized that we would quickly fall to pieces as a nation if we didn't have his focus, okay? You had George Washington working on the nation and its governmental problems that it had, and he began to work on education to educate the nation. They had to continue to become a moral nation. He had to lay the foundation of what free speech was and all the things that they had written in the Constitution to try to educate the next generation towards the Constitution and what they were trying to do. And so education was paramount. Guess what the first book was that they decided they wanted to have in education? It was the Bible. Noah Webster began that and tried to lay out a foundation that people listen, because the Constitution was written to frame in or to hold back or to have a groundwork for moral people. Can I tell you that our nation is immoral today because it doesn't know the Bible, because it hasn't been taught. Listen, we are now suffering the consequences of teaching and at least a third generation evolution. You know, the first one and the second one, some of them were like, they were still good moral people, and their mom and dad said, don't listen to that foolishness. Do you realize there are people today that are second generation that believe that there is no God? That the theory of evolution is their faith. It is their foundation of everything. The faithful man has failed in the day and age, and we need to stand up. I don't believe that the foundation is destroyed. I don't believe that there's nothing that can be done. I don't believe that there is not anything that the church can do. Listen, the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And if the gates of hell can't stop us, then what in the world are we backing up because of liberalism? Why are we backing up from some nation or some group of people that would tell us and stick their finger in our face and say that they can't? So listen, it's illegal. They can't. Listen, that didn't stop. What? I mean, Peter, you know, even in his ignorance, man, he was ready to chop heads off. He was ready to go crazy. Listen, and we need that kind of enthusiasm with a righteous zeal to go forward for God. Noah Webster said this about foundations. He defined them as this: the basis or groundwork or anything that on which anything stands and by which it is supported. He went on to write. That's the basic definition. Then he went on, a free government has its foundation in the choice and consent of the people to be governed. That's in his dictionary, folks. A free people. When did we cease to be free? When we allow people to speak for us instead of us stand up and be governed. Instead of getting to the place where we get so excited. Listen, if somebody would raise up and say, whoever this joker was that put this law out there and said this would be a good idea, they ought to vote him down. We ought to put him, listen, he ought to be a poster child in the post office. This is number one wanted man. Listen, we ought to propagate and just go after this fella. Listen, that's bad. That's bad business for a nation. That, listen, the righteousness of God, can I help you today and tell you, listen, unrighteousness will be judged. We read it from the scripture this morning, and I want you to know whether in this life or the next, we as God's people need to be faithful, not just in all the things that we think are just little things, but listen, our nation, part of me being the witness that I ought to be is a witness of the truth that resides inside of me, and that would be to stand up against anything like this that comes along. Now, he didn't stop there. He didn't just say a free government has its foundation in the choice and consent of the people to be governed. And this is what I want you to get. By being silent, we consent to what they say. And the reason that we think that there is a majority of people in the world today that are homosexual or transgender is because they are not silent. And they don't consent to the world being the way it should be. And they fight it with everything they have. And the reason they're gaining ground is because God's people, good people that know better, with their silence give consent to be governed that way. And I, for one, am tired of being silent. I, for one, want to be faithful to what I believe and preach it and scream it, even when it isn't popular. And let every, listen, I get loud like that because I hope you get half as loud as I do. And preach it and say it on Facebook. Anywhere you can plaster it, you ought to put it up that you don't believe in that. And that's wrong, and that's not that's not good. Listen, I'm going to be faithful to let people know, to sit down and write if that's what you do. But he goes on to write in his 1828 dictionary another definition, and he says, Christ is the foundation of the church. Listen, you talk about a chief cornerstone. Can I tell you this morning, the foundation of the church is laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the chief corner. Listen, and well, the reason we use the term foundations, you know, when you build a foundation, now y'all pour foundations down here, but where I come from, they lay foundations. And they start with a chief corner. Everything else will be squared off of that corner. They start with a corner that's the beginning of everything. It's the foundation is laid upon it, and there's foundations multiple because the chief corner is the corner they start with, and then everything else is trued up, if you would, or true to that corner of the building. And they lay foundations around the building. You know that one of the foundations that Jesus started, not just Christ is the corner chief stone, but man, do you know one of the things? Listen, the foundations are being destroyed because Jesus started something we call the family. He started a marriage in the Garden of Eden with a husband and a wife. And the world seeks to pervert everything that Jesus has started, everything that he has set out to be good and for God's people. And the family today, I believe that we could all see very easily that the home and the family are under attack today, and it has been that way for years. Not just in this idea of homosexuality, but even in the sense of, I mean, listen, we live in a day and age where 60% of people have been divorced. It was one husband and one wife. Because listen, the world has permeated us to a place where, listen, until we come to a point of salvation, the world has a hold of us and tears us apart and changes our thinking until we get saved and our minds get changed and we're converted to a place where we can have the right kind of family and the right kind of home, the right kind of marriage, the right kind of children. Boy, it's not just enough. Listen, we, even this day school we have here was started to assist the Christian home against the wiles of this world. It was started so we could bring children in here and teach them and assist the Christian home and to hold at bay this crazy world. It ought to be a place of refuge where the worldly thought and the worldly mindset and the words of the world and the talk and the dress of the day ought to be separate from the Christian school. We should push the world back and have a reservation, if you would, to protect our young people from what the world is trying to do and what the world is trying to teach. Can I tell you today, listen, I want to tell you, You better watch what's going on with your children. And if you, listen, as grandparents, listen, you better watch what's going on with your grandkids. You don't have control, but you have influence to tell them, listen, this isn't good for them. It's going to hurt them. Please get them out of there. Listen, it's our job. Listen, you say, well, the Christian school, listen, Florida's unique to the nation in the sense of this area where we can have a thing called Step Up and you can get some assistance to get your kids in a Christian day school. But listen, in other places, you've got to pony up and pay up to protect your kids and to put them somewhere away from the world. I beg you, listen, get your kids to a place. Listen, and you say, well, Brother Parsons, is that really important? It's essential to your child's growth. Amen. To either take it on yourself and to take them home and keep them and teach them yourself, or to put them in a good Christian day school where they will be away from the world and around God's people. Listen, we had good message on Wednesday night, and we're just coupling on top of that today to try to enforce to you as a home, listen, to just say, well, I'm doing the best I can. God, help us. I don't want the faithful man fail us. I don't want to do just what I think is my best, but the best that God has laid out, what God has put out in His Word for me to do. The faith, listen, the family is essential. What about our church family? I would say, number one, listen, the church was laid out for Christ. Listen, I have a blood, but then I have a blood-bought family that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for. Listen, if I'm going to hang out with people, I'm going to hang out with people of like-minded faith. I'm not going to go out to the world and have a good time with my worldly friends, and so my kids see that that's who I'm hanging out with. I'm going to hang out with God's people. I'm going to keep my kids away from the world in the day school. I'm going to keep my kids away from that. Listen, I'm going to keep them away from every influence of the world. Brother Parsons, boy, it's thick today. Foundations are being destroyed in your home, in your children. Listen, God help us that. Listen, this idea of foundations, it's a truth. Listen, when the foundation is destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Listen, if you've taught your children and you lay a good foundation for them, they've got something to stand on against this world. They got something to stand on. Even when, listen, Jesus says in Luke, he talks about the wise man built his house upon a rock, upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the truths of the faith are what stood the test. It doesn't even just, we talk about a storm, it's a flood, like rushing water trying to push the house off the foundation, and that's what goes on in our lives today. The world is rushing in an opposite direction, and we've got to stand on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the foundation of the family, upon the foundation of the local church. We got to stand against the waving, beating tide of this world to sweep us away from where we were once founded. The pillar and the ground of the truth is the local church. And yet, as a family, we'll say, I believe this like the local church, but I believe this too. Why would you do that to your children? Why would you say, this is okay? The church says it's not good for a man to touch a woman, but this is what I think. You're pulling away their foundation. Don't worry about what the world's going to do, because they're going to do worse, but you're tearing away their foundation. the preacher means well, but this. Well, I know he preached that, but you know, I mean, I don't know if that was in the Bible. Why don't you look and see? Hey, folks, I'm telling you today, we live in a day and age where the world is trying to devour your children, trying to own them and to change their mind, and they're trying to destroy their foundation. The home, listen, it's so important. It goes all the way. You know, J. Edgar Hoover used to stand up and scream at the American people that we were destroying the country because we were destroying the home. And that was not because of biblical reasons. He was saying that because he believed it as just a moral man, not a preacher. Let me tell you today, listen, the world, they want to constitute a home as anybody that just grouped up and lived together. Hey, the family was instituted by God. The home ought to be a place where mom and dad and the children sit down and open the Word of God together. Sit down and have time together. Where they sit down, listen, you say, Brother Parsons, I've got this, I got this, I got these needs in my life. There's problems in my home. Listen, when was the last time you sought counsel from the Word of God for those things? So many times we're quicker to go to the internet and see what the internet has to say about it rather than going to God's book that he wrote to us to fix and to help and for us to grow, for us to succeed and be blessed because we're obedient to God's word. Listen, the church is that way. Let me give you this. If I don't move on, I could ride that horse all day long. You might get saddle sore, but I'd be all right. Amen. So, fundamentals of the faith. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, quickly. I'm quickly running out of time, and I probably am already out of time, but buckle up because we got a couple more points. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, he says in verse number 1, I apologize for not waiting for you to get there. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. I just want you to know that the fundamentals of the faith, listen, the fundamentals of faith are these things that I'm going to read off to you. And I want you to understand this, and I don't have time to expound, but I'm going to say it as fast as I can. And I pray, God's church, that you can hang on with me, all right? I know we're not used to going over, but hold on, okay? Give me 5. Everybody all right with that? Give me 5. I'm probably going to take 6, but let's go. Here we go. All right. Fundamentals of the faith, inspiration and divine authority of the Word of God. Number 2, deity of Christ. That means he's the virgin-born Son of God, that he came to earth and did not sin, all right, and that his blood atonement covered sin. Those are fundamentals of the faith, all right, foundational things. He goes on, listen, the bodily resurrection of Christ. That means that he physically rose again. That is a foundation of our faith. We'll go on, all right, I'm going to do it in a hurry. Listen, the personal premillennial second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, that is a fundamental of the faith. You cannot be fundamental and not believe in the premillennial second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, the fallen lost condition of all man. Listen, we don't believe that God has elected some to be saved and some not to be saved. God died for everyone to pay for every man's sin, but that every man is in a lost condition and needs Christ. Listen, that is a fundamental faith, that grace, listen, that salvation by repentance and faith is how people are saved. There are people today that are trying to be new fundamentalists or a different kind of fundamentalist, and they take and lop off repentance and say that it's a work. But I'm here to tell you, you cannot have salvation by faith without repentance. You can't believe in some Hindu God and add Jesus to your numbers of God and be saved. You've got to turn from that foolishness and the faith that you grew up in and turn to Jesus alone and believe in him by faith. That is what repentance is. It's not a work. heart. It's leaving one belief and giving yourself wholly to the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot believe that Jesus is a prophet and add him to some other god and make him that. You have to repent from what you believe and turn to God. You can't be a Muslim and still believe in Muhammad, that Muhammad can save, and take Jesus as another prophet and be saved. It's Jesus plus nothing. He paid it all, and you have to trust in him. Repentance is simply turning from false belief and turning to true belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have, listen, you can't have it both ways. It can't be repentance, no repentance. You can't read that Bible and separate salvation from repentance. If you do, you don't believe in the fundamentals of the faith. You're not a fundamentalist. Fundamentals are the foundation, foundational faith. Say, Brother Parsons, you're meddling with me. I'm just telling you the foundation. Yeah, just because you don't know the fundamentals don't mean I'm preaching something different. Amen. You say, well, they're not my fundamentals. Well, you're not fundamentalist then. Amen. Grace without works. Grace without works. Listen, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not Jesus plus me knocking so many doors. It's not Jesus plus me abstaining from meats. It's not Jesus plus me doing whatever you could list off. It's not Jesus plus anything. But listen, it can't be Muhammad plus Jesus either. See, repentance is this thing I used to do plus this. Grace without works is grace alone plus works, plus what I did once I got saved. See, that's a foundational faith belief. That's what Christians have believed throughout centuries. That is the true belief of the church. And then you have to believe in eternal hell. That's a foundational belief, that there's a real hell and that there's a real heaven, that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to look forward to. Listen, the foundations are being destroyed. Our families are being destroyed. Our church families are being destroyed. They're changing what used. Listen, the church itself is being bombarded by changing because they don't know the fundamentals of the faith. Let me say this. Turn to Romans chapter 10, and we'll head for home, all right? After Paul writes about everything that we know about salvation to the church at Rome, after he finishes and says, he gets this idea, he finishes what we sometimes stop reading, and where it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When he gets to that place, he continues to write about a foundation, another one of our foundations, and that is the Word of God. He says this, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Let me tell you today, listen, this book can't be destroyed. It can't be torn apart. Listen, it's forever settled in heaven according to its own self. God has preserved it perfectly down through the ages, and it's still inspired like it ever was for you and I today, and I thank God for that truth. But having that perfect Word of God, he comes all the way down to, and look back in verse 13, he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you know, whenever I take the Word of God and I share it with someone else and they hear God's word on it, on the subject, and they hear what God said about salvation, not what some preacher told them or somebody at some place or somebody, the Jehovah Witness that knocked the door, but what God said, they get there, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I watch their face. It's not a maybe. It throws off all those things. Well, you don't understand what I did. You don't know what I used to be. You don't know what I've done. God could never save a person like me. Listen, friend, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It made me think, there was a young man in college, 24 years of age. His name was Vindo, back in the 50s, college, Barcelona, Spain. He was a philosophy major of all things. Not that that's bad, but he was a philosophy major. And he was trying to get his doctorate degree, and he was searching through the library trying to write his doctoral thesis, hoping to get his doctorate degree. And as he searched through the books, and he went through the major ones, as at this library, there was a book by an obscure philosopher. The original book. No one had printed his manuscripts, but this, he was from that local area. And it was on philosophy. And he pulled that book out, and he laid it open on the table with all the other popular men that had been quoted and copied, and laid that original text out on the table. And as he read through the book and saw some great things in there that he thought, man, this is great, you know, this is great ideas. As he continued to read, about halfway through, he pulled a piece of paper that was loose in the book. And on this piece of paper it said that I give all my earthly possessions to whomever reads the contents of this book. That man took the paper with him. And after about 3 years in court, that man wrote that book in 1741. In the 50s, he got $250,000 from the state, from that man's estate. The court awarded him that was a legal document, that was the legal will. Listen, you and I have a better book than a book on philosophy. We have better promises than $250,000 being willed to us. We have an eternal destiny that says, for whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you realize that you and I have a great inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ? And if we would just simply open his book and believe the foundational truths that are within, God could do much with his local church. God could do much through his family. God could do much with you personally. Listen, if you're here today, you say, Brother Parson, I don't even know if I'm saved. Then why don't you start on the foundation that everybody else needs to start on, that I started on. I took Christ as my foundation. I asked Christ to come into my heart and to save me so many years ago. And listen, that same God, just like that guy found out it didn't take me 3 years to get it settled, I called upon the name of the Lord and he saved me that day. He came in. His promises were true. He was willing to do just what he said. He'd forgive you of your sins, to give you a home in heaven. Listen, today, if you're here, you say, Brother Parsons, what should I do if I don't know I'm saved? Listen, just what everybody else that's in this building has done sometime or another, when the invitation is given, they stood up. And the preacher will call and I'll say, I'll meet you down front. Brother Perkins, I'll meet you down front this morning. You'll come down and say, I need to be saved. I need to trust in Christ. I want Jesus as my personal Savior. One of those things. But listen, you say, Brother Parsons, oh, I'm scared. I've never been down front. Listen, everybody in this building who's saved that would raise their hand and say that they've trusted in Christ, listen, that's the hardest thing they ever had to do, is step out and come to the front and accept Christ as their Savior. Listen, because he said, for whosoever shall call upon his name. And it doesn't matter. Whoever it is, listen, you just got to have enough faith to trust him and step out and walk to the front and come with us. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, the pianist is going to play. Brother Burt's going to sing. Brother Perkins is going to go to the front. I'm going to pray. As God's church, would you stand with us? Listen, and as the piano begins to play after I pray, would you just be brave enough today, if you don't know Christ, to step out? And listen, church, maybe there's some other thing that you need to pray about that was preached on today. Boy, God, help me to learn the foundations, the fundamentals of the faith. Help me to strengthen in those areas. Maybe that's what you need to talk to God about. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the fundamentals of the faith. I thank you for the foundations that have been laid. I thank you for the foundation of Jesus Christ. I do pray again today. If there are one, there's two, if there's anybody today, dear Lord, that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that they would step out and trust in you today as their Savior. If there's others that need to get right with you, dear God, help them to walk and get right. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Just